Sports and Recreation Center on the campus of the College of Staten Island. It's time for the Dolphin Pod, the official College of Staten Island athletics podcast. With your host, David Pizzuto.
Austin Mick with a 9-point lead. Mick flying to the perimeter, gets it over to Latunji for three. Dolphins work it back up to 12 points.
In-depth stories, reviews and previews, interviews and so much more. It's all right here. And now for the Dolphin Pod, here is your host, David Pizzuto.
And welcome, Dolphins fans, to the Dolphin Pod, our first broadcast here in the month of November. This is Season 2, Episode 9, right here on CSIDolphins.com. And from wherever you are catching us here this afternoon, I'm David Pizzuto, broadcasting from my home in South River, New Jersey. And on the line with me, of course, as he has been all summer and through the fall, is Nicholas Duran, broadcasting from his home in Staten Island, New York. How are you, Nick?
Doing good, Dave. You know, ready to talk some sports and really excited for our guest today. The pair is going to be great. So excited for this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Today on the show, we have Kelsey Carey, the marketing and promotions coordinator, AKA women's basketball assistant coach, and Michael Morrow, the marketing and development coordinator at the college. And of course, a lot of people know him as the longest tenured head coach at the College of Staten Island in the sport of baseball. They're both making their second appearance on the show, and this appearance is more focused on the marketing work that they're doing. So really happy to have him. And, you know, it's going to be a nice conversation to kind of flip the page a little bit on the fall sports and start looking towards the future, Nick, as we have our eyes on possibly getting back into some kind of athletic activity. So are Kelsey and Mike in their quest to kind of build the marketing program and continue to sell the college and help the college, you know, gain some momentum financially, especially in light of scholarships.
Yeah, and like this one will be a really cool one, especially for, you know, everybody that's known the program for so long, because, you know, Mike, they both do such a great job every day with marketing the program, and they did such a great job this year. You know, really excited to hear what they're going to do going forward and how they're going to make it even better.
Yeah, and how they actually go about, you know, that strategy and, you know, basically game planning for the future, similar to what, you know, obviously what they have to do as coaches and kind of mapping out very unfamiliar territories, what they'll have to do for the marketing piece. So it'll be nice to catch up with Kelsey and Mike. I actually had a conversation with both of them earlier today, and it was refreshing to hear some of their ideas. So I come in with a little bit of insight, but hopefully we're going to let everybody at home know as well. Before we get to that, Nick, we do want to talk about the competition that happened at CSI last week and the week upcoming. And of course, as always, it's centered around esports. We'll talk a little bit about what's coming up and the playoff push, but let's start by taking a look at what happened last week with the weekly rewind.
It's now time to rewind the week. Your look back into the week that was at CSI. Here's what you may have missed.
And CSI Esports had a pair of games last week, one in each video game of Overwatch and Valorant. In Overwatch, we have to go back to last week at this time against New York Tech. It was on Friday, October 30th at 9 p.m. NYIT came into the game undefeated, CSI in second place with a 6-1 record. The game had the ECC regular season championship and number one seed on the line. But it was the Bears of NYIT, last year's ECC runner-up. They handed the Dolphins a tough 3-0 loss. They really ran away with each round of this one, although the Dolphins say they took a lot out of the match after the game, got a really good insight into how New York Tech plays. It was NYIT taking a 3-0 win, and that dropped the CSI Dolphins to 6-2, and they ended up finishing second in the conference overall. NYIT took first place, and the other playoff teams were set. Originally, number three will be Malloy. Number four will be Southern New Hampshire. More on that coming up a little bit later. CSI's other matchup was this past Wednesday in the video game of Valorant. CSI took on Damon College. This one went CSI's way from the outset, and the Dolphins were the team to finish undefeated in Valorant. They go on to a record of 8-0, having beaten 0-8 Damon on the final game of the season. CSI had already locked up the number one seed, but they take home the ECC regular season championship and are the number one seed. And they will learn who their opponent is a little bit earlier next week for the first round of the playoffs. So, Nick, you know, I know we were able to watch the game against NYIT. That was the big one. We kind of knew that CSI was going to be pretty dominant and Valorant over Damon. But it was the matchup with NYIT that was the more intriguing one. And, you know, the Dolphins got put back down to earth in that game a little bit. NYIT winning it rather convincingly 3-0, and maybe in what could be a championship preview in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, tough end of the season for the Overwatch squad. But, you know, it just shows you that they could regroup and bring it back into playoffs. I think they got the seed they wanted, getting Malloy in the first round. So I think they'll be fine. And, you know, on the Valorant side, it's just absolutely amazing what they did this year. And they deserve all the praise. And we're just excited that hopefully that rolls right into the playoffs and into the championship.
Yeah, and Nick, one of the things that you mentioned last week after CSI had come off of a loss against Southern New Hampshire in Overwatch is you had mentioned sometimes it's good to get that end of the season loss on your schedule to get it out of the way. But now that the Dolphins have lost two in a row and they got a good look at the team that's in first place and the team that will likely they'll have to beat in order to win a championship, is it a good thing to kind of get it handed to you at the end of the season? Or like what kind of mindset do you think this puts the Dolphins in heading into the playoffs?
Like I said last week, I think it's a good thing because again, especially in the video game world, I was actually thinking about this the other night. They got to see everything that New York Tech did on the winning end of what they're going to do if they win, if they go up. So now they could kind of prepare a little bit and, you know, say, oh, well, they start winning, they might back off and do this, or they start winning, they're going to attack more. So they got to see it from how New York Tech plays from the winning perspective. You know, it might help them game plan for the future. So as long as they regroup and come together as a team, I could see it being a real positive for them moving forward into the playoffs and into the finals.
Yeah, great perspective. And, you know, the one thing that we could say is obviously you want to be regular season champs. You want to be getting the number one seed in the playoffs. But realistically, the game really didn't mean that much to either team because either way, they were going to finish either first or second. They had already clinched the playoffs. So for the Dolphins, it was kind of like playing with house money, right? They didn't really have a lot invested other than wanting, obviously, to win the regular season championship, which is a lot of, you know, it's a big reason to win, obviously, but still, it kind of takes the edge off when you know that you've already made the playoffs, right?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, that last game, you might not take it as serious, even though it's for first place. You know, you might take a little load off that game. And, you know, the next time we played them, you'll be a little on edge because if we do play them again, it'll be in the finals. And, you know, they took you pretty good the last time. So you would want to come out and play really well. And I think that's what will happen in the future. So only time will tell. So we have to get to the finals first to play them again. So absolutely, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and in order to get there, they'll have to win their semifinal game. And so let's preview that and also take a look at the perspectives in the game of Valorant now with the weekly preview.
The Dolphin Pod now brings you what's on tap at CSI with the weekly preview. Get in the game. Here's what's happening.
And turning our attention to the week upcoming, it starts tonight, Friday, November 6th, 7 p.m. We just spoke about it. The Overwatch playoffs are underway. CSI wants a chance to get revenge against New York Tech. New York Tech would have to win their semifinal game, but CSI is going to have to win theirs as well. And their semifinal opponent is the number 3 seed Malloy College Lions. They finished with a record of 5-3 in Overwatch. CSI did beat them head-to-head, but that was way back on September 11th of this year. It was CSI's first ever esports game. That's the semifinal matchup. New York Tech takes on Southern New Hampshire University in the other semifinal tonight. And by the end of this evening, we'll know what the ECC Championship looks like for next week by the time we're on the air again. CSI's season will continue in the video game of Valorant. They will play next Wednesday, November 11th, tentative time, 7 p.m. Only they won't know who their opponent is yet. The Valorant season is still not officially over, and there are four other teams vying for three other positions. The Dolphins are 8-0, but it'll be Southern New Hampshire at 5-2, NYIT at 5-3, Farmingdale at 5-2, and St. Joseph's Long Island at 4-3, all still in the playoff picture. Three out of those four teams will make it. We don't know what their seedings are yet. Obviously, we will have that information updated on CSIDolphins.com when we get it. So, Nick, the playoffs are officially upon us. In Overwatch, it starts tonight. In Valorant, the Dolphins will be a heavy favorite in their semifinal next week, no matter who their opponent is. But it's exciting stuff, and it starts tonight against Molloy.
Yeah, and, you know, when we first started covering esports, it was kind of like, yeah, you know, it would be nice if we made the playoffs. Yeah. It would be great if we could make the playoffs. And to stroll into the playoffs like this is kind of unreal. So, you know, I hope they just ride the wave and, you know, take all the momentum with them and see what happens. But, you know, we have a lot of confidence. We followed them through the whole year. And, you know, we think that they can compete with the best. So this is the time to show it.
Yep. In the game of Overwatch, CSI won six games during the regular season, all of them by 3-0 scores, except for the game against Molloy. They beat Molloy by a score of 3-1. CSI had won the first two games of that match, but Molloy came raging back and scored a point to make it 2-1. And CSI ultimately won a close escort round to win it overall 3-1. So that was a nice way to start the season. The Dolphins are hoping to continue it and not have it end tonight against Molloy. Once again, the start time is 7 p.m. tonight, so be sure to tune in. CSI Twitch has all the action live. Of course, James Medina will be the one on the mic. And Nick, very quickly, it's hard to talk about a game where we don't even know the matchup yet, but no matter who the Dolphins play, they should get a pretty interesting contest. You know, right now, there are four teams in the running, and, you know, all four of the teams, New York Tech, Farmingdale, Southern New Hampshire, and St. Joe's Long Island, Southern New Hampshire in particular, took a game off the Dolphins. So it should be a good semifinal round, no matter what the matchups are. It's going to be interesting to see if the Dolphins can continue the role. And they get the bullseye on their backs, Nick, because when you go into the playoffs undefeated, everybody's looking to take down the undefeated team. So CSI will have its work cut out for them next week and the week after if they make it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of animosity to that statement because, you know, us as a basketball team, when I was here, we went 16-0 in the conference, and at least they don't have to see these people in person, because when you get to that playoff game, there's a huge bullseye on your back. So, you know, I'm sure they'll try to stay. They would like to stay away from the Southern New Hampshire in the first round, but if they get them, you know, we have confidence that we beat them before and we can do it again. So, you know, only time will tell in this fact, too. But again, a lot of confidence on our end on this one.
All right. And that matchup, again, will be on Wednesday, November 11th. So by the time we talk to you again, we'll know whether CSI has won or lost that game. But in the meantime, CSIDolphins.com for the latest in that one. So Nick and I are excited about playoff esports. We hope to get excited about playoffs in sports that are live and in person. Two of those sports are basketball and, of course, baseball, and those seasons are very much in doubt. But Kelsey Carey, the assistant coach of women's basketball, and Mike Morrow, the head coach of baseball, have other jobs at CSI, and some people don't know about them, but it's all associated with marketing and promotions and development, and they are busier than ever, of course, with CSI introducing a brand new scholarship fund. So what Nick and I will do is we will step out, take a break, and when we come back, we will talk to both Kelsey and Mike coming up after the break right here on Season 2, Episode 9 of The Dolphin Pod. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Champions know how to seize opportunities. When they see moments of greatness unfold right before their eyes, they push as hard as they possibly can, and then they push harder. because the heart of a champion never settles, never quits, and never stops giving its all. We are champions. We are Division II. We go big, we give it everything we've got, and we win. On the field, on our campuses, in our communities, for our causes, in our careers. We rise to become champions in everything we do. We are Division II, and there are no limits here. We make our time count. We set our own path. We become champions on our terms. It's time to up your game, because we're here to play and learn. But most importantly, we're here to discover ourselves, our vision, our heart, our drive, to achieve every goal we aim for. Because we want to be champions at the highest level, life. At Division II, the opportunities are here. Are you ready?
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com.
And welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com. And from wherever you are tuning in with us today, it's time now for our featured segment of the podcast here on Season 2, Episode 9. Nick and I are talking to two very special individuals to, the CSI Athletics program, and that is Kelsey Carey, the Marketing and Promotions Coordinator at the college, and Michael Morrow, the Marketing and Development Coordinator for CSI Athletics. Obviously, a lot of people know you guys from your coaches' roles, but welcome to the show in a little bit of a different category than when we usually talk to you. So how's it going, guys?
It's going good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's going great. Thank you as well.
Of course, of course. And, you know, I guess the first question for you guys is, you know, I think we have to lead with sports first because, you know, we're all sports people and that's our bread and butter. That's our wheelhouse. And, you know, it's interesting, Mike, because this whole COVID thing started with you guys in baseball and obviously with track and field and softball as well. And now it's kind of come all the way into basketball season for in a very next calendar year. And obviously we're still holding out hope that basketball will happen. But now, Kelsey, you're kind of being impacted by the COVID suspension. So can you tell us a little bit about what this kind of upside down world has done for you guys as coaches and kind of the mindset and the place that you're in right now personally?
You know what? I think I was at the beginning of it when they canceled our season. You know, it was right after a huge win for us too. We had just gotten our first Division II win against one of our ECC opponents, and to be shut down like it was terrible. You know, no other coaches really understood how I felt up until now, because they're starting to really get the idea of, hey, you know what, my season may be in jeopardy too. It's been a whirlwind. I mean, just when you start to get your hopes up to get back on campus and to maybe practice, you know, things turn around again, and this COVID thing is still around and doesn't seem to be going anywhere fast. So it's definitely disappointing. As a coach, I definitely feel terrible for all my players that want to play, and just trying to keep in touch with them all, and just trying to keep them motivated, you know, for the upcoming season, which I really hope happens in the spring.
Sure. What about you, Kels?
Yeah, and I think comparing the two sports and the two seasons is a really interesting contrast, and two similar but very different perspectives. I just can remember when baseball and softball were kind of, you know, put down in the spring. It was almost, obviously we were all upset, but there was that ultimate hope, this will be gone by come the fall, come the winter. Here we are. And, you know, we're kind of feeling what, like Coach Morrow just said, what he was feeling back then. I mean, we were feeling for him, but again, it wasn't directly affecting us necessarily when it came to our season. So now that we're here, I think the feelings are very, very similar. Again, it's kind of day by day, and we've been really trying to, you know, be optimistic and hold out for January and the season to begin. But again, it's just, you never know what's going to happen, and safety comes first. So, you know, it's kind of the same where we are, I guess, last March, which is sad to say, but it is what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned, both of you, is, you know, trying to stay optimistic and trying to obviously hold out hope. And I'm wondering, like, how you guys do that with your kids themselves, you know, because it's, you know, sometimes as an administrator in my own position, it's kind of easy to kind of navigate without having, you know, 30 sets of eyes staring at me in a Zoom call needing answers, you know. So how do you guys kind of bridge that gap between understanding that this is a really tough time while also trying to stay motivated, upbeat, optimistic, and truth of the matter is, you know, content about what you're, we're still doing in, you know, with CSI Division II? Like, how do you keep a balance of all that?
You know what? I think I started with honesty right off the bat. I try not to sugarcoat anything or hide things and then surprise my team. I kind of let them know what's going on. You know, I've even given them the reality of, hey, you know, the spring may be affected by this, you know, so I don't want you guys to be surprised, you know, if you hear something like that. You know, the Zoom calls, we have a group chat. We just try and stay, you know, connected as much as possible. Because, you know, I have 13 new recruits coming in that haven't even met, you know, my old team yet, you know, the plays that were already on. So I'm trying to get them just in Zoom to try and, you know, to connect and, you know, to kind of become friendly. It's definitely very hard to do. But I think everybody has gotten so used to this COVID life that we now live in, that it's kind of becoming, I hate to use the word, but it's kind of becoming normal. Zoom calls, not really knowing any answers, you know, trying to stay motivated, you know, trying to still work out. It's just, you know, it's just taking it day by day. I'm sure Kelsey feels the same way, but I mean, that's how I'm kind of, you know, navigating around all this.
Yeah, and I think we're very much in the same boat, almost entirely, well, I mean, now entirely all virtual and online. And to be honest, at the beginning, it was never easy, but again, it was kind of new and all the girls were getting adjusted to being on Zoom and we try to keep it as fun, optimistic as possible. But I think Nicole and I can speak for the both of us. We've been trying to keep them engaged through Zoom, but you also got to remember these kids are on Zoom all day with their classes, with their advisors, with this and that. So as badly as we want to keep them engaged, and, you know, we are trying, we need to keep those in the back of our head. We were actually doing some virtual workouts, some dribbling. We said, you know, we could always use it to work. We can always practice our dribbling. But I think, you know, midterms and school is always picking up. So definitely trying to stay as connected as we can through these virtual times, but also trying to keep in mind that, you know, these kids, just because they're at home, it doesn't make what's on their plate anyway.
Yeah, and I'm gonna stay in the past with my questions. You know, I think a lot of light should be shined on the baseball team from last year, and me and Dave spoke about it earlier with Louie. You know, you guys looked like you were setting up for a historic season this year, and you guys look so strong. Mike, can you just talk on how special this group was and, you know, what the season could have been for you guys and what you saw for the future of that season last year that looked so promising early?
Yeah, you know what? It's a great bunch of guys I have. You know, every so often you just get this special team where everyone just kind of gels and really buys into the whole aspect of what we're looking to do here at the College of Staten Island. And our first year as D2, you know, playing against D2 opponents, and they were excited to really see where we were at. And when we won a couple of games in South Carolina and came back home and actually beat one of our conference Division II teams, I mean, we were on cloud nine. We were ready to go. And then just as that happened, the season ended abruptly. So, I mean, you know what? The guys are a great bunch. We did lose three seniors, you know, that aren't coming back. They moved on with their lives, you know, getting full-time jobs, which I understand fully. I did keep one senior that's staying, that's going to, you know, stay for his fifth year. Which we're excited about. But you know what? The group was really tuned in, excited. They were buying into the whole D2 mentality. They weren't afraid of playing against better competition. And you know what? We stood up to them. It's a good feeling. The one thing that's making me kind of get through this whole COVID situation is knowing that at some point, I know the kids that I have on a team will be able to compete in the D2 level. So that's kind of making me excited still. It just seems like it's taken so long to get there. But it's really a great group of kids, and I miss them, and I really can't wait to see them in person and to just continue where we left off.
Yeah, very well said. And again, you know, it's so sad that we couldn't see that season actually happen. But for you, Kelsey, you know, you guys left the CUNY last year, you know, kind of the way you wanted to. And we spoke to Schmitter about this earlier. You know, you beat a lot of teams that gave you problems over the years, even before you came, like Hunter, Brooklyn, and you guys took them down late. You had a big win against Cabrini. How great of a feeling was this season for you to leave Division III fully and then step into Division II?
Yeah, I mean, the whole season was really, really incredible for us. I mean, we definitely had our fair share of challenges in the start, playing a bunch of Division II schools. And, you know, you could see the girls. I mean, it's not easy to lose no matter who you play. So definitely the CUNY aspect of it and us finishing almost on top. I know we lost to Hunter, but that last win against them was an unbelievable feeling. I'm sure none of us will ever forget it. And it kind of does stink because you kind of come off that high, ready to go into the first ever true postseason, and then obviously COVID hits. But, you know, that season, I know, speaking for myself and for my girls and coach, that it's nothing we're ever going to forget, you know, and it would have been a great spark to bring us into our first full Division II season. But again, things are out of our hands. So hopefully they don't forget how that win felt and how the end of that season felt, and, you know, can generate that come whenever basketball begins again.
Yeah, that's it's a great way to put it, obviously. And, you know, we know that there's going to be a season. We just don't know when, and obviously when this cloud kind of passes over us. But you know what, guys, COVID grounding your sports would ground most coaches, period. But at the College of Staten Island, all of our coaches have other duties, and your duties are tied at the hip, right, with marketing and development and promotions. And you guys have really started that from scratch. I mean, we've always had some people doing that work, but never to the degree that what you guys have done. And, you know, it's hard to kind of measure because then COVID hits and things stop and you have to kind of restart. But what were some of the things, and, you know, Mike, maybe you can handle this one. What were some of the things that you guys felt you were doing kind of well and similar to sports, like you were kind of up and running and going and engaging, that came to a halt with COVID as well on the marketing side of things?
Yeah, I think the main thing, I think Kelsey will agree, is we were really, really getting great relationships with our sponsors that are involved with the school. We were becoming friends with them and, you know, keeping in contact with them and getting them involved in you know, during our basketball games. And we were going to get them involved during our baseball and softball games and soccer season. We really hit the ground running, getting to know the prominent people on Staten Island. And just as we, you know, had them all on speed dial on our phone that we can call them anytime if we needed something or a donation or we wanted to involve them in something, it came to a halt. And you know, you got to remember, all the sponsors that we deal with are business owners, and they've been very, you know, badly hit with this COVID, and it's affected them financially, mentally, you know, everything. And it kind of put everything on a halt for the business that me and Kelsey are in. To try and raise money for the school and try and get sponsorship. So I think that was the worst part of it. Just as we were, you know, jumping in our car together and going to visit, you know, one of our sponsors, you know, it just stopped. We weren't allowed to do that anymore. So I think that's one of the main things that disappointed me. Just as we were just about getting these relationships going, it kind of, you know, a roadblock happened.
Yeah. And Kelsey, you know, one of the byproducts of that, of establishing good relationships, is then when something like COVID happens, you kind of, you know, your heart breaks for them because they're going through some tough times as well. Mike mentioned how COVID has impacted some of our sponsors financially and mentally. And, you know, that doesn't mean that, if anything, it means that we have to become even more involved and not less. What are some of the strategies that you guys have been doing to stay connected with our sponsors and to continue to keep relationships with them, even if we're not necessarily doing anything with them right now? How is that outreach going?
Yeah, well, kind of just to piggyback off what Mauro said, is we were really starting to have really like genuine, true relationships with these people. Of course, at the end of the day, they're a business and, you know, we would love their financial support, but we were becoming friends or acquaintances with these individuals. So I know as soon as all this really started to hit and businesses began shutting down and it was really taking a toll on, especially Staten Island, you know, a lot of mom and pop, smaller shops. Our first instinct was we got to reach out to them. You know, one, obviously from a sponsor standpoint, but also just to check in on their well-being, on their family's well-being, on their business's well-being. And I know, and I think this goes to show that we've been working with the right people, was they were so thankful that we hadn't even reached out to them. You know, obviously it was reciprocated, making sure all of me and Mike were good, all of the coaches, all of the kids were doing well. So I think that goes to show that it is more than just, you know, financial support. They're actually invested in the CSI family and, you know, what we do there. But I know one thing we did was reach out to them and try to get an idea of what their business hours, what their specials, what their delivery service was. Because, you know, when this all first started, people weren't going anywhere. It all had to be delivered or whatnot. So I know we kind of got in touch with them to get an idea of, all right, what are you guys offering? What can we put out and let our fans and families and kids know, just so, you know, if they have the opportunity or they want to order from you or whatever they want to do, use your business, that they know that you're there. So they were definitely super, super appreciative of us reaching out. And, you know, that's the main thing, is letting them know that this will pass. And when it does pass, we're still here for you. Hopefully, you know, they'll still be here for us, which a lot of them, most of them did express. So I just definitely think keeping that true relationship of, you know, just family, you know, the motto that we share with our athletes is really important, even when it comes down to our sponsors.
Great.
Yeah. And, you know, Mike, stepping into this full-time position and stepping into marketing, you know, one thing I would say about you, just from knowing you over all the years, is even without marketing, you're just a marketing whiz. Like, it's just who you are. So how has it been, you know, doing it full time and stepping into this community? And how do you feel, you know, how has it been getting different businesses coming on board and stuff like that? How has the Staten Island community been to you?
Yeah, it's been great. You know what? Over the years, you know, I've been here going on the 13th year now, and Dave's been with me since day one. So he knows I've done a lot of charity games and fundraisers and all that kind of stuff. And to get into this full-time position in marketing, it was kind of a ground ball for me. I'm a hard guy to say no to. I do it in a way, you know, that it's not all about money and about what you can do for us. It has to be a two-way street. And I think just from experience and Kelsey's learning and becoming so great at it as well, just being able to offer what we can do for them and not always, you know, me and Kelsey always say, when we open the front door to a business, we don't want them ever to be like, oh no, they want money. That's not what we ever want them to feel. When we open the door, we want them to be like, Mike, it's Kelsey, what's up? That's the relationship we want with these people. And that's the relationship that we've really grown to have. Staten Island's just a great area. You know, I'm born and raised here. The people here are great. When you're down and out, no matter what, you know, these TV shows, what people say about Staten Island or the knocks they give us, we are really here for each other, you know, through thick or thin. And I'm so proud to be part of that. And this job at the college, to continue to do that, and I love it, I really do, and I don't want to speak for Kelsey, but just from the way she goes about her job and when we go and visit people, I mean, she's right on board with it. I just love what we're doing.
Yeah, I agree with everything you say. And you know, on Kelsey, on your side, you know, listeners that might not know, she was a pretty decent basketball player at a high level Division I school. You know, how do you take that?
She gets very angry when I introduce her. I'm always introducing her as, you know, she's the leading high school scorer in women's basketball.
She's so annoying.
But I do it every time. How can you not tell people that?
Exactly. Can't run from it. She should be standing on a table saying it. So, you know, from that experience and being at that level, and, you know, we're jumping from Division III to Division II, how do you think that experience at that level helps you at this job to bring us to the next level that we need to get to?
Yeah, I mean, all my coworkers probably get so annoyed I bring up Fairfield so much. it's not just because I loved it, but I really learned a lot and I was just a part of a lot. And I think that's where most of my experience comes from. I mean, obviously I studied marketing, but that was more business school related. Obviously I played basketball. I was in the athletic department probably more than I was in any other building anywhere. So just being around that type of atmosphere, and Fairfield Athletics and Fairfield University in general just have a really great alumni and network connection, you know, whether it's through business or nursing or basketball, whatever it is, they just have really strong bonds. And I felt that when I was there from my freshman year all the way to my senior year. And I think just being a part of all different types of fundraising events, charity events, alumni events, when I was there, I mean, I definitely took it for granted. You know, I'm looking at all these people, like, look at all these old retired basketball players. Yeah, in 5 years, he's calling and looking in the mirror, and that's me. But definitely just being in that atmosphere, and whether I didn't take it for what it was back then, now that I'm removed from it, I take it for every last ounce of it. So I definitely have learned so much, and I try to compare what I learned there and try to apply it to the College of Staten Island as best as I can. So yeah, I'm definitely thankful for the examples and the events that I was a part of back in my time at Fairfield.
Awesome. And, you know, obviously Nick mentioned what a tremendous basketball talent you were, Kelsey, and, you know, you were a scholarship player, and that's something that kind of sets you apart from what's going on now at CSI, because for the first time ever, we're starting to offer scholarships at CSI. In fact, 2020, 2021 is our first scholarship year. And of course, we're looking to improve on that each year. And your job as marketers and our development team is to kind of develop a scholarship fund. And, you know, you in particular, Kelsey, know a lot about it, obviously being a scholarship player, how that helps student athletes in so much more ways than just financially. It's an opportunity to, you know, to get a great education at a fine school. And, you know, it's definitely something that a lot of high schoolers aspire to. And, you know, you guys, what a lot of people don't know about our athletic program is that, you know, the college doesn't say, okay, athletics, here's $1 million, go give out scholarships. It's, you know, the scholarship money comes from our building revenue and the many rentals that come in, the community groups. But the other big part of it comes from you guys, from you and Mike bringing in revenue and philanthropic dollars. And of course, to our newly minted scholarship fund. And, you know, we haven't really thrown it out at the public too much and forced it down their throat because COVID has happened. But that is something that is on your radar, is it not? And what's the game plan moving forward with establishing and nurturing a scholarship fund?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can just speak. My scholarship, it changed my life, you know? And I think we have such amazing opportunities at CSI. And I think that it is obviously our duty to bring in money, but I think we do such a great job. Obviously, Dave, all kudos to you about sharing stories about our current kids and about our newcomers and our potential kids. And, you know, I think it's really important that the public, whether they're on Staten Island or they're not from Staten Island, know how important and crucial a scholarship is to anybody's life. And in particular, in our case, a student athlete, you know, it presents them, like you said, not just an education, just life experiences and teaching you how to be the best self that you can be. But definitely COVID put a stop to kind of our engine a little bit. But I know in the past few months, we've been really kind of trying to generate new ideas to get that the CSI Dolphins giving page and our Dolphin Fund back up and running. So, you know, we have a bunch of ideas, but I definitely think within the near future, we're looking to have a day where we kind of restart the giving campaign, with whether it's going to be a day of giving or, you know, have our individual teams kind of reach out to alumni and whatnot. But we're definitely excited to look forward in the few weeks to come that we're going to really try to have that outreach for our community and family and friends to you know, learn more about how these scholarships can change young kids, young adults, I should say, lives for the absolute better. And more, I don't know if you have anything else to add, but yeah, I know we're definitely very, very excited for the future.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail right on the head. You know what? But just, you know, just being part of coaching and being able to offer scholarships to kids out there, it kind of gives you, me and Kelsey, more of a motivation to try and raise as much money as we can for the department to be able to give this opportunity to kids out there that really deserve to, you know, to possibly come to college and play sports where maybe they may not be able to afford it or not play at the level that they should be playing at. But you know what? That's another thing that that me and Kelsey were, you know, running with, and we look forward to once we get back, you know, up and running when this COVID stuff lifts a little bit, is to get back out there and explain to, you know, the community about, you know, how important it is to raise money for the scholarship fund and to, you know, what it really means and what it's all about. And that's what I'm excited about because, you know, Dave, you've helped me, obviously, with my recruiting. And when you look at these kids' faces, when you're talking to them and the parents and you're offering them some type of scholarship, I mean, the look is priceless. And that really motivates myself, and I know it motivates Kelsey to try and get that going more and more and more. So, I mean, that's what we're looking forward to.
Sure, sure. And it motivates people to give, too. I know when you know you're making a difference like that. So we definitely are anticipating seeing that. And, you know, I know the other big way that we raise money and always are trying to improve our funds is through these great events that we have. I mean, obviously, I've been a part of our Hall of Fame in the past, and that's always brought in a little bit of money that athletics has been able to use. But Mike and Kelsey, you both have been heavily involved with the golf outing now for the last couple of years and are trying to grow that event. Of course, we had the first ever Legacy Night last year, which was a tremendous event, kind of kicked things off for you guys, kind of officially introduced you guys to the community as well. So, you know, these events are big for you guys as well. And I kind of wonder with COVID, you know, if and when it's finally over, you guys are going to have to play a little bit of catch up there and like start rolling out golf outings and Hall of Fames and these things. Is it almost daunting of a task to know that like when we do get back out there, all these things kind of have to run? And, you know, how do you get it all done when you're coaching?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, we've discussed this already, that when we, you know, and we've discussed it with you as well, Dave, when we get back into the building, we want to be already up and running.
Sure.
You know, we don't want to show up and just be like, all right, now let's start getting in touch with sponsors and let's start working on the golf outing and helping with the Hall of Fame. We want to already be up and running with that already. So me and Kelsey have already discussed the golf outing for next year. You know, what we're looking to do, sponsors, you know, so is it going to be a daunting task? I'm going to say yes. We're going to have to do a little catch up. I think I'm more on the worried side about, I'm still a little on the shy side of asking businesses for help and for donations and, you know, be involved. But you know what I'm learning is at some point they want to get back to normal as
right.
well.
Right.
So I think when they're involved with us, it's going to shed some light like, hey, there's a little normalcy going on right now. I do want to get involved with this golf outing. I do want to, you know, give you a raffle and stuff like that. So I think we're kind of looking forward to it too. And it's definitely difficult while we're coaching. You know, I saw that this past basketball season, you know, when Kelsey's coaching and we have halftime performances and inviting schools, and it's tough for one person to do because, you know, Kelsey's in coaching mode. So it's tough for me to run up and go, hey, before you go into the locker room, what should I do here? Or what do you think of this? Kelsey, I actually tried to do that once and got yelled at by,
that's
by
why I'm like,
Dave, I lost myself because I'm a coach, and if someone ever said that to me, I would lose my mind. It was right when halftime is just starting, and I said, hey, Kelsey, what do you think about it? And Nicole just said, Mike, we can't do this right now. and I actually caught myself and was like, wow.
Yeah, you knew. You were like, what am I doing?
Yeah. So, but you know what? In the future, we've definitely written up a script now. We definitely know, you know, what to do. You know, thank you, Dave. We now have some interns that are going to be helping out, which is going to be a huge help for us. Mm. So, I, you know, moving forward, I think we're going to be just fine.
Great.
Yeah, and I think you asked the perfect coach, because I think Nicole might have been the nicest in that situation. Because I can only imagine what it would have been like if you would have came over to Tibbs or yourself and asked that question.
No,
you would have ended up like Danny.
I definitely agree with you 100%. I just put myself in that position. If someone asked me, I would have lost my mind. But I thought myself, you know what? You got to learn from your mistakes. I definitely learned from that one.
So we learn something new every day, Mike.
Every day, kid. You're not kidding.
But to talk on marketing from the other side of it for the kids, you know. Kelsey, I know you were very involved with Fit Night Madness last year, and it was such a great overall event. How important is that for the school, for the kids, for the program, for recruiting, you know, every step of the way? How important are nights like that for the student body?
Yeah, I mean, they're extremely important. And I think just from attending one or any type of pep rally, if you will, for lack of a better term, it's just like inspiring. It's just such a good feel walking into our gym, and especially into our facilities that are beautiful. I mean, for the kids, it's like the highlight of the preseason. You know, they work their butts off for a month and a half, 2 months. And then, you know, that's the night that kind of almost starts things off. And I think it's just such a great event to get, like you said, not only our kids, but the coaches, the staff, students, recruits. I know last year we had a huge push where we had recruits come, and I can't even tell you, just from the basketball, the women's basketball recruits alone, they were like, wow, coach, like, this is awesome. Like, you guys are fun, you know? And as silly as that sounds, like, that's huge. And, you know, as a recruit or even as a player, you don't forget those things. So obviously definitely missing it this year, but, you know, hopefully we get back. That's, you know, one of our best events. And I think it's just so much fun and such an uplifting event for everybody that's involved.
Yeah, and just to add to that, and you could answer the same thing, Mike, you know, do you feel like that's what we've been missing the last couple of years, is events like this? And because I feel like once I started coaching, you know, I felt like we were always missing a little connection from the whole program, whole atmosphere.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what, you don't really realize it until you actually do an event that you haven't really done before. And then you're like, wow, this is some success. And when the kids talk about it and now look forward to it the next year, you know, my kids alone, after this past season's pep rally, when we were doing it this year, they were already like, coach, you think we could all wear our jerseys for the next one? And like, they were already into it. You know, so I definitely agree that I think it's just a great morale booster, because even if your individual name isn't being announced, the team is being announced. And you know what? Kids like that. They like to show that they're part of this. And the way I look at it is like this. There are millions of kids out there that play college ball, and there are a ton that don't have the opportunity to play a college sport. So if you're able to be part of a college sport and now be involved in a rally and get to know all the other kids and the other teams and really, like Kelsey said, become a family, there is nothing like it. I tell my kids all the time, you will remember this for the rest of your life. 30, 40 years from now, you will remember this day or this win or this conversation we're having. And as I'm getting older and the longer I coach, you know, I go back to my first season and what I'm saying is right. You know, I run into kids all the time now where they're like, coach, you are 100% right. And I said, I know. And that's a good thing, you know, because we want memories. This is what this is all about. Memories for these kids and to make the best possible 4 years of their lives most memorable. And I'm so happy to be part of it.
Yeah, guys. And, you know, and you mentioned, you know, making memories and, you know, having this be the best 4 years of kids' lives. I mean, obviously COVID has put a wet blanket on all of that, but I always go back to, you know, this still being a pretty exciting time for us, you know, even with everything going on in our world and, you know, in our social circles and with COVID obviously, and you know, everything else going on, it's still a wonderful time to be a part of CSI Athletics. There's still so many positive things happening. I get re-energized every time I'm on a call with a recruit, you know, when we're on a call with a recruit's parents, it's like, it's that shot that I need. So can you talk about, you know, getting kind of back to that and about knowing that there is a light at the end of this tunnel and knowing that even with the marketing piece that there will be a better day and just having to kind of bridge that gap from here to there and what you're kind of most looking forward to when this cloud does pass.
What'd you say, Mike?
Go ahead, Kel.
I said, yeah, you start off. I'm going to piggyback on you because I know you're good at this one.
No, I just think, obviously, when you walk into the halls of our office or into our buildings, like, you just feel those interactions and those genuine relationships. And I think, personally, and I don't want to speak for Mike, but I know we're very similar in that sense where I'm looking most forward to having interactions, whether it's with our sponsors, with our donors, with our kids, with the other coaches, literally, even with the referees. I miss the referees, like literally anybody. I'm just so looking forward to being back face to face. And, you know, like you said, Dave, every time I have a call with the recruit or even when I just describe what our program is like to a friend or a family member, you know, we do so much great things and kind of tying in the Thin Night Madness. Like it isn't just basketball games and practices. Like there's so much more to the experience at CSI than just playing on the court or the field or wherever. You know, we do so much, and I'm just really looking forward to getting our sponsors back involved, getting our kids back involved, and just having so many events, you know, that we've been missing out on for the last, you know, 8-9 months.
Well said. I think
you got nothing to add?
I do. You know what? I think that, no, I do. I think the best thing is the whole Division II move that we made. It still energizes us because we really just got a taste of it. And I would hate to see if we were still a Division III school and this COVID hit. You know, there's nothing really looking forward to except hopefully this gets lifted and we play again. But knowing that it is the D2 at the end of the tunnel that we haven't even really started yet, we haven't even scratched the surface, that's really still keeping me and my team motivated. I think that's a good thing. And, you know what, as hard as this has been with the COVID and not being able to work and hang out with the coaches and just see everybody every day, we will be okay. There is light at the end of the tunnel. This will pass at some point and we will be back to normal. And I think we have such a family atmosphere at the College of Staten Island in the sports department. That we're ahead of the curve. So when we're back ready to go, you know, we're going to get back in there like we didn't skip a beat. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it's good to hear that. And sometimes I think like this time, you know, maybe 5-10 years from now, we'll look at it and we'd be like, that was like the longest vacation I've ever had, like the longest time. You know what I mean? And I know this. And believe me, this is hardly a vacation. I don't think I've ever worked harder, you know. And maybe it's because I'm just home and it's a different environment that I feel like the work is so hard. But you know, that brings me to my next point, which is, and I talk about this with Charles all the time, because all these things happen, right? The NCAA puts out all this information. You know, our governor chimes in, our mayor comes in and shuts things down. The CUNY chancellor comes out with a long email and we got to follow new rules with that. And the ECC makes decisions. But sometimes I just have to ask Charles, and I'll ask you guys, like, what does your gut tell you? Like, just your own personal thing, like regarding COVID and how this is going to affect athletics, like, step out of your position as a coach for a second, step out of your position as a marketing person. What is your gut telling you about this pause for us, and what does your gut tell you about potentially getting back out there? You know, what are kind of your true feelings about it?
I think, you know, stepping out of the coaching, you know, hat for a second, I think we will be back to normal at some point. I think there's a lot of things that are generating this hysteria right now, and that's with, you know, and I mean, politics has a lot to do with it. You know, the medical side of it has a lot to do with it. You know, people don't want to be the school that someone gets COVID and they get shut down. You know, so I'm sure everyone's a little leery about opening up their programs. I think we still have a ways to go until things kind of get back to normal. But my gut feeling is at some point it will be back to normal. I think it's going to take a little longer than we really anticipate.
Mm. What about you, Kelsey?
Yeah, and I, Yeah, I mean, I can only agree with everything you said. I mean, definitely remaining as optimistic as possible, and I truly do believe things will get back to normal. You know, time frame on that, I don't know. But again, just I know you said take my coaching hat off for a minute, but just like athletics in general in our country are so huge. You know, they're such a influence on so many aspects of life. So, you know, just really staying optimistic that whenever it is, you know, we can't tell that when it does pass and when we are able to get back with anything, with regular life, you know, it's going to be great. And I think it'll just, you know, be an extra good feel, you know, seeing games played, seeing your friends and your family. But again, just really trying to stay optimistic and hoping that it passes sooner than later.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you guys. You know, we just got to figure out a way to turn this into a new normal and figure out a way to play our sports. But again, like Mike, I think I agree with you 100% on it's just scary trying to be that first school to be like, oh, well, you know, we pushed so hard, but then we got it. And, you know, it's a tough situation. But, you know, you spoke about honesty with your kids before and, you know, you try to put everything on the table. And that's one thing that, you know, TJ's really great at. And I felt like with our kids through this period has really made them mature and, you know, made them voice their opinion and ask the right questions. You know, this question goes for both of you guys. Have you seen that growth in your team as well in communication and growing up a little bit with more on their plate?
Yeah, I'm going to say 100%. And I've actually spoken to TJ about this on several occasions about the honesty part and the way he talks to his team, and we're very similar with things like that. From if you were to rewind from week one till right now, when COVID started, I would say my team has done a complete about face. They're much more cognizant about their grades, about the Zoom calls, about, you know, knowing that I can't see them face to face. So when I do email them or text them, they have to get back to me. I need an answer. You know, you can't hide. And they've really done that. They've really done a really good job with that. They've grown up tremendously. And I'm very proud about that. And, that, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because at some point you got to give the kids kudos. And, you know, doing this online stuff is not easy. You know, I have a daughter that actually started CSI this semester. And she's home, you know, on the computer every day. And it's not easy. It's a tough grind. And I see it firsthand. And, you know, now I'm trying to manage 34 kids, you know, with the team. And, you know, they've really bought into the whole being home online stuff. And I have to give kudos to them because they've been great.
Yeah, and same goes for our team. I mean, they have definitely all grown in the sense where they really have been, they've always been there for each other, but obviously it's different when someone falls on the court and you can physically pick them up or, you know, physically help them study. Having this distance makes that connection a little bit harder. So I just know, especially my upperclassmen and even the sophomores, they've really taken it upon themselves to help one another, even if it's just through a phone call, a text message. You know, they've really been there and have definitely matured, and you know, again, it's kind of the new normal and we check in on them, but again, it's up to them. And I think it wasn't their choice, but they definitely have matured and kind of taken it for what it is and doing well with it, with their classes and whatnot. But I know we're definitely proud of the way they've kind of been there for one another through all this.
Great. And you know, guys, it's hard to believe we've been on the line for about 40 minutes now, a little bit longer, so we have to get this you have to get this segment concluded. So I'll ask a final question. I'll try to take the edge off a little bit and maybe get to something a little fun. And that is, you know, what has kind of this pause in activity gotten you to focus on in your spare time? You know, I was asked this question and I had to think about it. And I was like, you know what? I really have done a lot of things that I'm not used to doing when we're working. You know, I learned, oh, this is going to sound crazy. You guys are going to give me hell for it. But I, you know, I learned how to play the ukulele during this time.
Oh, you should not have told me that. I can't even believe you went there.
So I've done that.
You are in such trouble when we get back to work.
Listen, my kids love it, all right? But you know, the other thing that I've done, seriously, and this is more of a serious one, is that I've taken a step back a little bit from social media, and I don't post post as much. And instead, mm-hmm. I try to get more involved in things that would piss me off. I try to learn more about. So instead of just chiming in and saying, you know what, you're wrong, and this, I try to actually investigate and do a little bit more into politics and things like this. So that's kind of what it's done for me. Can you guys think of things that this pause has kind of allowed you to kind of refocus on and maybe get back to yourself a little bit and pay more attention in that respect?
I think my grass has never been greener this past year. So landscaping might be something in my future, because no one waters or plants more than I do. Besides that, I think I've definitely focused a lot on what my practices are going to look like now, more so than in the 12 years I've done it. I guess because I have so much time on my hands, I could really be creative on what I want to do when we're in the gym, when we're outside. On the personal note, I think as all of you know, I'm not exactly the biggest computer whiz. as Dave can attest, that I've texted and emailed him at all sorts of hours of the night asking questions. I've definitely learned more about the ARMS website that we have. I definitely learned more about what the heck Zoom is all about and about the computer itself. So I'm gonna pat myself on the back for that. That doesn't mean I'm not gonna ask for help, but that's just one of the things I think I've gotten a little better at.
Awesome.
I would say personally, I've been cooking a lot. I've always liked to cook, but now I'm not out recruiting. Where I wasn't out recruiting until like 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. So, I've dabbled in a few new dishes. I got to compliment myself. They taste pretty good. But I guess more so on the coaching aspect, I know Nicole and I have obviously been not struggling, but the whole recruiting process is really, really interesting right now. I know both of us have been kind of have like create a new, not recruiting format, but just the way we go about it. So definitely my Zoom skills have increased, and I'm pretty tech savvy, but definitely all my internet use has increased, and got a little bit sharper. So I'm honestly really thankful that I'm not in the office to deal with Mauro and his technical support issues, because I know during this time it would be very overwhelmed.
Yeah, Kelsey's third title is IT specialist for Mike Mauro.
Oh, that's great.
Nick, you didn't weigh in on this one. What's yours? I came clean. You got to come clean too.
All right. If you didn't know, I've been co-hosting a podcast that airs on Friday called The Dolphin
that's
Pod.
That's true.
I'll jump on the Kelsey board. I've always enjoyed to cook. Like we said, with recruiting and stuff, I've been kind of a fast food guy for the last couple of years during basketball season. So it feels good to just be home more and be able to just cook, prep meals and stuff like that. So awesome. That's one thing that I definitely got better at.
Well, listen, Nick, anytime you and Kelsey want to cook for me and Mike, Mike and I like the kings of takeout.
Yeah,
and we've mastered
and
that.
And Dave will bring his ukulele.
It'll be a whole day.
All right, listen, we got a date. All right, we got a date. Listen, guys, it's as usual. It's always a good time with you guys. It's always a great conversation. We learned a great deal about your programs and about marketing and the giving campaign to CSI and all the things that you guys do behind the scenes. We hope to catch up soon enough on the Dolphin Pod again for a reprise. Until then, we wish you guys the best of luck throughout the year, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, guys. That was a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
It really was. Thank you so much.
Terrific. So what Nick and I will do is we will take a break, and when we come back, we will wrap up Season 2, Episode 9 of the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
In NCAA Division II, student-athletes leave a lasting impression on their communities. That's because Division II student-athletes want to make a difference and truly be part of their surrounding communities. Through community engagement, thousands of student-athletes from various backgrounds interact with community members who view them as role models. This interaction leaves a positive and perhaps even life-changing impression on all those involved.
In Division II, we rise to the opportunity and make community engagement ours.
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com and from wherever you are listening to us, whatever day of the week, whatever time of day, we are broadcasting and premiering our show on Friday, November 6th, 2020. And Nick, we just wrapped up a great segment with Kelsey Carey and Michael Morrow, marketing and development coordinators, and of course, head and assistant coaches at the College of Staten Island. We got to learn a lot about them, but it's always good conversation. You could tell there's a lot of rapport between the both of them, and it's kind of easy to know why they're in the fields that they are, because they do have that way in conversation, and they're doing a spectacular job really from the ground up with marketing.
Yeah, and I'm glad we learned that Morrow finally made it to the 21st century and got to use a computer, right? But like you said, they're a great duo. It reminds me of just a great sales team, mm-hmm. just on the road at all times, going back and forth. And, I think they bring such a good, vibrant experience to the department, especially in that field, to really push us forward in the marketing.
Yeah. And it's also nice to hear about how they're handling COVID, because they're very unique. And in that, Kelsey literally ended her season when COVID hit, and it kind of took its toll on Mike, and now it's kind of coming full circle again with basketball. So it's kind of interesting to see at what stage in COVID they are and how that's playing out for them. So, great to catch up with them, and I'm sure it's the first of many conversations that we'll have with them in both capacities, Nick, both as fundraisers and those supporting our scholarship fund, but also, of course, their teams are two pretty dynamic teams at CSI too, and we're definitely going to, we definitely haven't heard the last of them in that regard either.
Yeah, and you said, and Kelsey alluded to it, the hardest part right now and the weirdest part is literally the recruiting part for us, mm-hmm. because, we're kind of in the middle, and now people are getting an extra year, and you don't really know what kids are really looking to do. And, on Mike's side, it's probably a weird situation for him too, because you would think that spring sports are going to happen, but like he said, don't put all your eggs in a basket. We don't know in this time and age. So, for both of them, it's different times, but it seems like they're doing great. And, they're ready to get back on their marketing trail once everything lets up.
Great. So this was a great show. I had a real great time on this one, Nick. And next week, we're going to digress a little bit and start talking about the CSI Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame was supposed to actually take place in November of 2020. And of course, with COVID, everything has kind of been pushed. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to focus on the Hall of Fame. And we're going to actually, 2 weeks from now, we're going to actually debut who is in our Hall of Fame on this show as part of a week-long celebration. And next week on the show, we're going to have alumni and Hall of Famer Jeff Benjamin join us on the Dolphin Pod. Jeff was a cross-country runner and track and field star in the mid-80s at CSI before CSI suspended the program and then brought it back in the late 2000s. But Jeff was a phenomenal runner. He still runs. He's very active within the community. He has his own newsletter. He has his own column in the Staten Island Advance when it comes to running. He is the authority figure on Staten Island when it comes to running. He has great stories to share about being a former athlete. And of course, he's a Hall of Famer as well. So we'll get that perspective on what it's like to be named to the Hall of Fame. So that's a conversation we are definitely looking forward to, Nick. And we should have a great show next week.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. And like you said, really gets to show us the experience from his time when he was at the school and, really take us back to his glory days of, running and making the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are looking forward to that one. Of course, Nick and I will return next week here on the Dolphin Pod. So for everybody who contributed to our show today, obviously to Mike Morrow and Kelsey Carey, for Nick Duran, I'm David Pizzuto, wishing you a great rest of the weekend. Thank you for joining us here on the Dolphin Pod. We'll see you next week. Go Dolphins, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Dolphin Pod. Remember to check us out next week when we bring you a brand new show. And check out our archive broadcasts throughout the year at www.csidolphins.com/podcasts. or on any of the broadcast channels like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Breaker, and Google Podcasts. If you have questions, comments, would like to be booked on the show, or have an idea for a guest you'd like to see on the show, be sure to leave us feedback and catch all of our shows right here at csidolphins.com/podcasts. From all of us here at the College of Staten Island, thank you for listening to the Dolphin Pod.